Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Osho Radio makes a new program for you every week in which we play a part of a discourse by Osho and music from Osho lovers from different parts of the world. The music that's coming up next, it's a Russian version of Om Shanti.
Облако.
The discourse in today's program is from Yoga, the Alpha and the Omega, Volume 10, Number 2. The questioner is asking Osho why he's telling us to enjoy life totally. What's the use of enjoying sex, money, chasing after desires, and in the meantime, getting dependent and creating bondages for ourselves? Osho's answer is, life is hidden in life itself, and understanding is the key.
Third question. Replying to my question, you said the other day to live and enjoy life totally. But what is life then? To go in sex, to make money, to fulfill worldly desires and all that? If so, then one has to depend on others and the worldly things which are sure to become bondage in the long run. And also, will it not make the search of the seeker very, very long? Yes, life is all that you can imagine and desire. Sex is included. Money is included. Everything is included that the human mind can desire. But you live in a sort of hangover. Even in the formulation of a question, your condemnations are absolutely clear, emphatically clear. You say, replying to my question, you said the other day, to live and enjoy life totally. But what is life then? To go in sex, to make money, to fulfill worldly desires and all that? The condemnation is clear. You seem to know the answer before you have asked the question. Your leaning is absolutely clear. Cut sex, cut love, cut money, cut people, then what sort of life will be left there? This has to be understood. The word life has no meaning in it if you go on cutting everything. And everything can be condemned. Enjoying food is life. Anybody can condemn it. What nonsense. Just chewing food and swallowing it inside. Can this be life? Then breathing. Just taking air in, throwing it out, taking it in, throwing it out. What boredom? And for what? Then getting up early in the morning and going to sleep in the evening and going to the office and to the shop and thousand and one miseries. Is this life? Then making love to a woman. Just two dirty bodies. Kissing a woman. Nothing but an exchange of saliva. And millions of germs. Think of germs. It is not even hygienic. Certainly it is irreligious. It is unhygienic also. So what is life? Take everything out of the context of the whole. And it looks meaningless, absurd. That's how religious people have been condemning life through the ages. You give them anything and they will be able to condemn it. They say, what is the body? Just in the bag of skin, millions of dirty things. Just open the bag and see. And you will find that they are right. But have you asked the other question? These people must have been expecting something which they have not found. Were you expecting gold inside the skin bag? Are diamonds inside the skin bag? Then things would have been better. You asked the other question, what you were expecting. You cannot find a better and beautiful body than you have. And you go on looking at the dirt inside, you don't look at the beautiful work, it continues. The whole body continues for 70, 80 or even 100 years to work with so smooth efficiency. With such silence. Look at the throbbing energy in the body, the pulsation of energy. But there are people who can always find something wrong. Whatever it is, they can find something wrong. You sow them a rose and they will take it off the plant and will say what it is. It will wither within few hours. Yes, it will wither. So all beauty is lost. You sow them a beautiful rainbow and they will say this is illusory. You go there and you will not find anything. It simply appears to be. These are the great condemnators, the poisoners of life. They have poisoned everything and you have listened to them too much. And now you find that it has become almost impossible for you to enjoy life. But you never think that this incapacity to enjoy life is created by our so-called religious teachers. They have poisoned your being. Even when you are kissing a woman, they go on inside telling you, what are you doing? This is nonsense. There is nothing in it. Even while you are eating, they go on saying that, what are you doing? There is nothing in it. Those condemnators have done a great work. And this is one of the basic problems, that to appreciate is difficult and to condemn is easy. To appreciate is very difficult. Because you have to prove something positively, only then you can appreciate. Heinrich Heine, one great German poet, writes in his memoirs that one day I was standing with the great philosopher Hegel, and it was a beautiful, cool night, dark, silent, and the whole sky was beautifully full of stars. Of course, the poet started appreciating it. And he said, what beauty, what tremendous beauty. And he said, I always think, if a man only looks at the earth and never looks at the sky, he may become an atheist. But a man who looks at the sky, how he can become an atheist? Impossible. But by and by he became a little uneasy because Hegel was completely silent and he has not uttered a word. And he asked Hegel, what do you think, sir? And Hegel said, I can't see any beauty or anything. These stars you are talking about, they are nothing but leprosy of the sky. Leprosy. Condemnation is so easy. That's why condemnators are so articulate. People have not talked in favor of life because it is difficult to say anything positive about life. It is too much for words. Condemnators have been very articulate and they have been condemning and negating. And they have created a certain mind in you which goes on working from the inside and goes on poisoning your life. Now you ask me, what is life? To go in sex, to make money, to fulfill worldly desires and all that? And what is wrong in worldly desires? In fact, all desires are worldly. Have you ever come any desire? Have you come across any desire which is not worldly? What do you desire God for? And you will find the whole world hidden there in your desire. What do you desire heaven for? And you will find the whole world hidden there. Those who know this say desire is the world. They don't say worldly desires. Buddha has never said worldly desires. He says desire is the world. Desire as such. The desire of samadhi, the desire of enlightenment is also worldly. To desire is to be in the world. Not to desire is to be out of the world. So don't condemn the worldly desire. Try to understand it, because all desires are worldly. This is the fear, that if you condemn the worldly desires, you will start creating new desires for yourself, which you will call unworldly or otherworldly. You will say, I am not an ordinary man. I am not after money. What it is after all? You die. You cannot take the money with you. I am searching for some eternal wealth. So you are unworldly or more worldly. People who are satisfied with the wealth of this world, which is momentary, and death will take it away, they are worldly. And you are searching some wealth which is permanent, forever and ever, and you are unworldly, you seem to be more cunning and clever. People are making love to ordinary human beings. They are worldly. And what you are desiring, then look in Quran, look in Bible, look in Hindu scriptures, what you are desiring in heaven, beautiful damsels, made of gold, never aging, remaining always young. They are always at the age of 16. Never 15, never 17, something miraculous. When the scriptures were written, then too they were of the age of 16. Now the scriptures has become very ancient, but those girls continue to be at the age of 16. What you are desiring? In modern countries, homosexuality has been prevalent, so even that is provided for in heaven. You will not only have beautiful girls, you will have beautiful boys available. And in this world, alcohol is condemned. And there, in the Mohammedan heaven, there are springs of wine. Springs. You need not go to the pub. You can just swim in them, drown in them. And you call these people unworldly? In fact, they are nothing but very worldly people, and they have become so frustrated with this world that now they live in fantasy. They have a fantasy world. They call it paradise, heaven, or something else. All desires are worldly. And when I say that, I am not condemning them. I am simply stating a fact. To desire is to be worldly. Nothing is wrong in it. God has given you an opportunity to understand what desire is. In understanding desire, in the very understanding of it, the desire disappears. Because desire is in the future. Desire is somewhere else, and you are here now. If you want to be here now, and the reality is here now, the existence is happening here now, everything is converging on here now, and with your desire you are somewhere else, so you go on missing. You remain always hungry, because that which can satisfy you is sovereign here, and you are somewhere else. Now is the only reality, and here is the only existence. Desire takes you away. try to understand desire, how it goes on deceiving you, how it goes on taking you away from farther trips, and you go on missing. So whenever you remember, come back home. There is no need to fight with the desire, because if you fight with the desire, you will create another desire. Only one desire can fight with another desire. Understanding is not a fight with desire. In the light of understanding, desire disappears as darkness disappears when you kindle a lamp. So don't call these worldly desires. Don't be a condemnator. Try to understand. If so, then one has to depend on others and the worldly things, which are sure to become bondage in the long run. But what is wrong in depending on others? The ego does not want to depend on anybody. The ego wants to be independent. But you are dependent. You are not separate from existence. You are part of it. Everything is joined together. We exist together in a togetherness. Existence is a togetherness. So how can you become independent? Will not you breathe then? Will not you eat food? If you will eat food, you will have to depend on the trees, on the plants. They are supplying food to you. You will not drink water. Then you will have to depend on rivers. And you will not need the sun. Then you will die. How can you become independent? Independent is a wrong word. As wrong as the word dependent. Independence and dependence are both wrong. The real thing is interdependence. We are all together interdependent. Even the king is dependent on his slave as much as the slave is dependent on the king. It is an interdependence. It happened in the life of Khalifa Harun al-Rashid. He was sitting with his court joker, Bahlul. And he said, Bahlul, I am the most independent man in the world. I am a monarch with infinite power. And whatsoever I want, I can do. The whole world obeys me. Can you find anything which is not under my order? Bahlul kept silent. Then he said, Sir, this one fly is disturbing me very much. Can you order her not to disturb me? Harun al-Rashid said, You are a fool. How can I order the fly? And she will not listen to me. Bahlul said, Have you forgotten, sir, what you were saying? That the whole world follows your orders, and even this fly, just in front of you, is sitting on your head, sitting on my head. I am trying to avoid it, and it goes on landing again and again my nose. And I have seen it landing on your nose also, sir. And you cannot order this small fly, and the whole world follows your order. You think again. The world is an interdependence. Harun rasis and flies are all interdependent. And Bahlul is wiser than Harun rasis. In fact, because he is very wise, that's why he is thought as a fool. Or maybe it is because of his wisdom that he calls himself a fool. Because to exist in this world of fools, you should not declare that you are a wise man. Otherwise they will kill you. This Bahlul seems to be wiser than Socrates and Jesus. They committed one mistake. They declare that they are wise. That created trouble. All the fools gathered together and they said, "We cannot tolerate you. You cannot crucify Bahlul, maybe wiser than Jesus and Socrates." He says, "I am a fool, sir. But see his insight." Once Harun al-Rashid wrote a poetry. Now everybody appreciated it. Everybody has to appreciate. It was just nonsense. And when he asked Bahlul, just before the court, he said, "This is just nonsense. Even, sir, a fool like me will not write this." Of course, the Harun Rashid was very angry. Bahlul was thrown into the imprisonment. And he was beaten and forced to starve. And after 7 days, again he was brought. Harun al-Rashid has written another poetry, has improved much upon the first. And the whole court says, "Wah, wah." Again, Bahlul was asked. He looked at the poetry, he listened, and he immediately stood up and started going. The king said, "Where are you going?" He said, "To the imprisonment." "Again, I am going. I will not give you trouble to send me. What is the point?" He was really a wise man. This is the irony, that many times the wise man has to appear as a fool. Remember, the effort to be independent is very foolish. And it is not possible. It is impossible. Then you will become more and more frustrated, because always you will find that you are again dependent, again dependent. Wherever you go, you will remain dependent, because you cannot go out of the net of existence. We are like knots of a net. Energies go on passing us. When many energies pass through a point, that point becomes an individual, that's all. You draw a line on the paper, then draw another line across it. Where these two lines cross, individuality arises. Where life and death cross, you are there. Just a crossing point. To understand it is all. Then you are neither dependent nor you are independent. Both are absurdities. Then you are simply interdependent, and you accept. If so, then one has to depend on others and the worldly things, which are sure to become bondage in the long run. Who has told you that they are sure to become bondage in the long run? Either you know or you don't know. If you know, then there is no point of asking me. You will not get into that bondage. If you don't know and you have simply heard it from others, this is not going to help you. You will be in a trouble. Teachings from others are not going to help. You will change their whole meaning according to you. Not consciously, unconsciously, it will happen. You will always find yourself whatsoever you read, whatsoever you listen, unless you start understanding your own life. And also, will it not make the search of the seeker very, very long? This is greed. Why be afraid? Why be too much concerned with the result? I am talking continuously, repeatedly, that be here now. Don't think of the tomorrow. And you are not thinking only of tomorrow. You are thinking for future lives. Will not the search will become too long, very, very long? Why be afraid of it? Infinity is available. There is no shortage of time. You can move very, very slowly. There is no hurry. The hurry is because of the greed. So whenever people become very greedy, they become very hurried. And they go on finding more ways how to gain more speed. And they are continuously on the run because they think life is running out. These greedy people say time is money. Time is money? Money is very limited. Time is unlimited. Time is not money. Time is eternity. It has always been there and will be there, and you have been always here and you will be always here. So drop greed and don't be bothered about the result. Sometimes it happens because of your impatience, you miss many things. If you are listening to me with greedy eyes, then you will not be listening to me. You will be inside continuously talking, yes, this is good, this I will try, this I will do, this seems it will bring me to the goal very soon. You have missed me, what I was saying. And in listening to what I was saying, the goal was hidden there. One doctor used to come here, now he is transferred. He used to take continuous notes. I asked him, what you go on doing? He said, letter at home with his. I read it. And then later on, whenever I need, I can read it again. But I told him, you go on missing me. You hear one thing, you write. In that time I have spoken something which you have missed. Again you write something, again you have missed. And whatsoever you collect are fragments. And you will not be able to join them together. And in the gaps you will fill your own greed, your own understandings, your own prejudices, and then the whole thing will be destroyed. The goal is here. You have just to be silent, patient, alert. Live life totally. The goal is hidden in life itself. It is God who has come in millions of ways to you as life. When a woman smiles at you, remember it is God is smiling in the form of a woman. When a flower opens its petals, look, watch. God has opened his heart in the form of a flower. When a bird starts singing, listen to it. God has come to sing for you a song. This whole life is divine, holy. You are always on holy ground. Wherever you look, it is God that you look at. Whatsoever you do, it is to God that you are doing it. Whatsoever you are an offering to the God. That's what I mean, live life, enjoy life, because it is God. And he comes to you and you are not enjoying him. He comes to you and you are not welcoming him. He comes to you and finds you sad, aloof, uninterested, dull. Dance. Because each moment he is coming in infinite ways, in millions of ways, from all dimensions. When I say live life in totality, I mean live life as if it is God. And everything is included. When I say life, everything is included. Sex is included, love is included, anger is included, everything is included. And don't be a coward. Be brave and accept life in its totality. In its total intensity. Thank you.
Today's meditation is called Act Consciously. Begin to be aware of anything which ordinarily happens unconsciously, for example, anger, jealousy, pride, and your consciousness will be deepened. Act consciously, even in day-to-day acts, be conscious, for example, walking, eating, talking, and your consciousness will be expanded. Be alert when thinking. No thought should be allowed to pass unwitnessed. And then, in the end, there is explosion, in which you become totally conscious with no unconsciousness behind. We're coming to the end of the program. You listen today to music from the world of Osho, from Atmo Ravi, Disha, and we're going to finish with the song River of Grace by Milarepa. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. Until the next time. Namaste.
Promise made in another life. I packed my bags not knowing why, and across the mountains east to the other side. I travel far and I travel wide. Through the dark night, the star's my only light. I heard it said somewhere along my way. The journey ends where it all begins. Carry me, river of grace, from the mountains to the sea. Carry me, river of grace, baptize me in love and devotion. Search my soul for something more to say. Yesterday, words like dry leaves fall away. Feel like I've lived my life in a single day. Carry me, river of grace, from the mountains to the sea. Carry me, river of grace, baptize me in love and devotion. Life never seemed to last.